views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, Your Call to Action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru, feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Living Heaven on Earth. I'm so excited about this show topic that we have today and my very special guest that's here, because we're talking about a really touchy subject on how to use cancer to evolve into love. My very special guest, Reverend David Maggingly, he is a Lutheran minister, and he has such a powerful message to share. David is a four-time cancer survivor, and he has had a profound near-death experience. David was on the other side when his guide told him that it's not time yet, that he has to go back, that he has to return back to earth. And David didn't want to. He didn't want to return. But his guide told him that he has to come back because he still had so much work to do. David told me that he felt like his guide was his best friend. That was the feeling that he got. And his guide told him, it's gonna be all right. Can you imagine having that kind of an experience and coming back to earth? My special guest, David Maggingly, is an interfaith minister at Queen Elizabeth Health Sciences Center in Halifax, Nova Scotia. He's also an award-winning author of Beyond Surviving Cancer and Your Spiritual Journey. David has also survived cancer four times himself, and that's why he has had that near-death, that profound near-death experience, which led him into explorations of the nature of consciousness and the connection of body, mind, and spirit. So we're here today to talk about how to use cancer to evolve into love with my very special guest, David Maggingly. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you, Cornelia. So great to be here.
It's an honor to have you here. So this must have been quite a journey for you. And when you and I had our conversation, our pre-interview to talk about bringing you on, you were telling me about what took place, that fated time when you had that near-death experience. I think that's where I want to start today, because I want to shine the light on what happened when you were literally on the other side and you met your guide. So tell us about what that experience was like. What was that experience like for you when you found yourself? Were you like in the light, or were you, how did you know? Tell us about the feeling. Tell us about the experience.
Well, it's ineffable. It's quite difficult to find the words that accurately convey the transcendent joy and sense of oneness and being finally whole. But let me set it up for you a bit.
Sure.
It happened while I was on internship. I was training to be a minister, and we spent 1 year in a parish. And part of my assignment was to go to the local hospital and do a church service in the chapel. So I was just into the service, just beginning my sermon. I began to feel flush and very hot and woozy. And in only about 10 seconds, I collapsed. Now, I'm a very tall minister. I'm 6 feet 8 inches tall.
Wow.
So when I collapse, it's a long way down, and I have a lot to think about on the way. And it terrified, of course, all the people in the service. Fortunately, there was a doctor, there were a few nurses there as well, and they rushed up to me as soon as I had collapsed and found that my heart had stopped. But I didn't care because I found myself suddenly on this grassy hill in a place of such simplicity and yet profound beauty that I was elated. I was overjoyed. I, unlike many people who have a near-death experience, didn't have the rush through the tunnel into the point of light.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself, as many do, suddenly there. I could feel every blade of grass. I could sense every movement. I was one with everything. And this was a grassy hill with a dramatic sky. And at the top of the hill was a tree. With all the fiber of my being, I wanted to run to the top of that hill and get to that tree because I knew if I got to the other side, I would never come back here. I was filled with elation and literally jumping up and down saying, I'm home, I'm home, I'm home. And it was beautiful. And then my guide was there. Now, it was as if I dropped into the middle of our conversation. He was there immediately, and I felt that kinship, that belonging with him. And he was, as you mentioned, my best friend. He'd known me all my life. It was a distinctly masculine, angelic entity. Mm. And he said, it's great to see you, David. It was surprisingly casual how he said that. And I said, I'm home, I'm home. Come on, let's go to the top of the hill. Got to get to that tree. And I felt this. Huh. People have asked me to describe him. And I can't in physical terms. But if you can see beauty, power, compassion, majesty, wonder, depth, wisdom, authority, compassion, friendship, love, that's what he looked like. And he said, no, you can't go up there. But things are going very well. Things are going very well for you. And you actually have to go back. You can't stay here. And I thought that was ridiculous. I said, go back. Why on earth would I go back? I'm finally home. Come on, let's go. But there was something in the power of his presence that prevented my feet from even moving. We walked smoothly and gently through this grass. And he explained, while things are going very well, you have a lot more work to do and you can't stay here, so you have to go back. But we will be with you. Notice the plural. We will be with you. And I argued. I did not want to come back here. And I knew I was losing the argument. My heart began to sink as I realized I was going back. And I just said, no, you can't do that. Please don't do that.
Oh.
Please don't. I felt the touch of his hand upon my shoulder, such as I had a shoulder. You know,
yeah.
I was dead, but I had a body like this one. I was me. I had legs and arms, and I was walking. But that place was more real than this one, and I felt more alive than I ever have here. And I felt finally whole and complete. You know, here we're straining against different aspects of ourselves. Very rarely are we fully present in the moment. But there, the moment is all that there is, and you are home. So he touched my shoulder, and I felt this endearing, compassionate laughter rise from within him. And it was like you would have for a little boy who doesn't want to go to bed. And he just said, it'll be okay. We'll see you later. And boom. I was back.
And boom, you were back. And boom, you made the choice to come back.
Reluctantly. It turns out in near-death experiences, some people are sent back, like me. Some people decide to come back because of the unfinished love story of their lives. And others just find themselves back here, just like that.
I'm curious, though, what that does with free will.
Yeah, I think it's quite complicated.
Okay. Sometimes you think we're pushed?
Yes, sometimes we're pushed back. Sometimes we don't have a choice.
Okay.
We have free will, but we only have choice within a certain set of possibilities. And beyond that, we don't have a choice. And yet, within that set, there are more, you know, there's more than enough choices to make.
Right.
It's complicated. It raises that question, do we all have an assignment here on Earth?
Yeah.
Does that have particular details?
Yeah.
That's a complicated question. And while I don't believe in a predetermined plan, that doesn't mean I don't believe in there's a fundamental purpose for us. So we'll find out on the other side. And we don't need to figure it all out on this side.
Okay. And it's all about the exploration and discovery, isn't it? And bringing in the new evolved consciousness of what it is that we're really capable of, isn't it?
Yes, I think that's the fundamental homework, to evolve into love itself. And that has a variety of paths for everyone, but the end result is the same. So your spiritual homework that is waiting for you is always, how do you love?
If you
focus on your love, you're going to be focusing on the deepest spiritual and the most noble quality of life. Mm-hmm. That wisdom will guide you.
Yeah. And that's what we're all doing here, isn't it? How to evolve into love? How do we love? And isn't that what most people ask themselves at the end of their life is, was I loved? Did I give love? Did I receive love? Was I being loved, right?
And we all do it awkwardly, sporadically, even, you know, coming back from my near-death experience, which was in 1988. It did not result in me being an evolved soul. It did not upgrade my consciousness. If anything, it threw me into a bit of a wilderness because I have never since that day felt at home in this world.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, because when you were talking about, you know, feeling the oneness and feeling the blade of grass, and when you were talking about the joy that you were feeling, have you ever had that feeling here on Earth since you've been back like that?
I have grazed the edge of it. And those have been beautiful moments, but nothing has matched it. Nothing has been so total and complete. And it has renewed my faith and my understanding, but it has revolutionized it. The ancient terms of the church have a new definition for me, and I perceive them in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm curious about a lot of things. I wanna find out about Well, first of all, I want to talk a little bit about your guide, your friend. Do you still communicate with him by any chance? Are you having a dialogue with him, or do you just get a sense that he's with you all the time?
I trust completely that not only is he with me, but many more, because he said, we are with you. Mm-hmm. Nobody is alone in this, and you do not have just one agent on the other side. Mm-hmm. There is a multitude of celestial entities which accompany us every moment of our life.
That's so good to know, isn't it? That we're not alone. It's like a validation of that we're not alone. We're doing this work together.
It's a partnership.
It's a relationship.
Yeah. And it's important that each one of us claim the indispensable role that we have in that partnership. Not to downplay it or abdicate our power in shifting that flow of love, which not only ripples through our hearts and changes us, but through us changes the world. So your question, do I talk with them? Yes, all the time. It continues to be a very casual conversation. Often it's the request. I start with, you know, how are you guys doing today? And let's go do something beautiful. Mm-hmm. Or I may, if I'm in a heavy situation, as my work often brings me to, I'll say, you know, guide me, you know, be with me in this. Yeah. And sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes I ask them just to go away because I may be embarrassed about my own thoughts or feelings.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be transparent to them. Mm. But because I'm as human as the next person. But they receive all of our nuisance and foibles with absolute compassion and a good dose of humor. So we should too.
Absolute compassion and forgiveness. Basically, in that level of consciousness, all is already forgiven anyway, because right. they know that you're human and that you have your human thoughts and you're here to transcend those negative thoughts and send those thoughts back to the light. Is that right?
Yes, because anything that is not of love is not eternal and therefore not actually real. It's mm-hmm. part of the dream and the fabric of this reality, but not the ultimate reality from which ours emerges. Mm-hmm. So only love is ultimately real, so only love will continue.
And this is really pretty much what our message is today when you and I decided to have this interview, is really the message is to evolve love, to spread love, and to have this interview go viral on the internet, sending out the waves of love, supporting other people that are possibly experiencing, whether they're experiencing some kind of health crisis or some kind of spiritual crisis or relationship crisis, but always to go back in and consult the own inner bank of love.
Yes, and to do more than, you know, to love, to do even more than that, to be love.
To be love.
So, because love, I believe, love is not an emotion. Love is an entire state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it is absolute completion, wholeness, congruency, connection. It is infused with the intelligence of the universe. And it is something I experienced briefly in 15 minutes of terrestrial time, though there it felt much longer. I was one with love.
One with love. Mm-hmm. Wow. So David, in 1988 is when you had your near-death experience. And you just, it was a year, you were just becoming an interfaith, a minister.
Yes. During in the Lutheran church, yes.
Yeah. And what made you want to become a minister? I'm curious about that. Like what started that?
Well, cancer started that. I was
really?
17. Yeah, I was 17
okay.
when I developed a tumor in my bladder, and it was removed successfully, and I was told at the time it was benign. Mm-hmm. But it made me re-examine my life. I had been a very shy and careful young man, and I had a lot of questions about, well, what is the meaning of life from that? So mm-hmm. I studied philosophy and comparative religions in university. And I just learned to ask better and better questions. So I went to seminary. I was a member of a church, though I actually identified myself as more spiritual than religious at the time. Mm-hmm. And I found that I loved seminary. I didn't intend on being ordained. I just wanted to ask better questions and dig deep. However, internship comes up in your third year and you've got to go. So I did and discovered that I loved ministry. I loved loving people and exploring with them the questions, never really finding an answer, just trusting the answer had found us and moving in that love.
And is that what you love about ministry, is loving love, being a minister of light, being a minister of love?
Being an ambassador of love, but not in a way that places me above people, but brings me alongside of them and enables me to have a deep presence, especially now as I'm a hospital chaplain. I work in cancer care, intensive care, and palliative care. And my job is to incarnate love and help others tap into the wisdom within them to navigate this storm and do something they never imagined that they could do. Not only to face cancer and survive it, not only to go through cancer, but to grow through cancer. In the full dimension of their being, yeah.
Yeah. So you went to ministry school, and then you became an ordained minister. You survived cancer that first time, and then tell us about the second time.
The second time, I was in my parish. I was on that internship. The second tumor is what made me collapse. What we discovered was it wasn't benign. It had grown back, and it was a nasty tumor called pheochromocytoma. Now, imagine you have a time bomb sitting in your body, and the trigger that makes it blow is your own adrenaline. So as soon as you feel anything intense, fear, anxiety, passion and joy, dread, anger, it causes the tumor to blow. Most people die within 10 seconds. I am very lucky to be here. I have collapsed countless times. Only the one time did I glimpse the other side. It is a horrible feeling when you recover from these episodes. So I was in seminary, and the second tumor was removed in my final year, and it was on my femoral artery. So we knew it was seeding the rest of my body. And the surgery is very dangerous because a bomb squad is basically going in to remove the tumor. As soon as they touch it and manipulate it, it explodes again. So they have to watch your blood pressure, which can skyrocket so high, it blows your blood vessels. I had a great surgical team that second time, and I recovered just in time to graduate from seminary and go to my first parish in a little country town of 600 people on the prairie. And on that first day, I found myself sitting at the bedside of a man who was dying, and I felt oddly at home.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. What an incredible story. Yeah. It seems like you are here. That's part of the mission, is really being able to transcend, not death, if you will, but transcend the way that we look at death, and the way that we perceive death, and the way that we experience it, because you're so at home with it. It's almost kind of like you got intimate with death.
With mortality. And as long as your love is stronger than your fear, mm-hmm. you can navigate that storm.
Mm-hmm. So now, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, in fact, love and compassion enable you to use the energy of distress and anxiety and use that to move even faster towards your destination of love. We can explore that in a little bit. It's a complicated thing.
Yeah. So that was the second time. Third time.
Third time, I was here in Nova Scotia. I had moved to a parish here in the suburbs of Halifax, and the tumor was acting up again, and I was having episodes of collapsing, and we found it was on my, in the muscle and around the ureter near the kidney on the right side. And I got through that one by the skin of my teeth. The surgery went fairly smoothly, but recovery in intensive care did not. At one point, I'm lying there, and it was late at night, and I heard code blue being called, and I know what that means. And I thought, my goodness, who's the poor fellow who's on the edge of life? And then they came crashing through my door, and it was me.
Oh.
And they looked at me, and they said, you know, can you hear us? Can you hear us? And I looked up, and I said, of course I can hear you. How are you guys doing? And they looked at me with absolute confusion because my blood pressure was bottoming out. I should not have been conscious. Now, a little backstory on that one. I had, about a month earlier, been at a retreat, a spiritual retreat with a therapeutic touch teacher. So this is energy healing. And I had been practicing energy healing for some years. It was one of the abilities I found after I had returned from my near-death experience. And the teacher had given me a private treatment. As she scanned through my energy field, she paused. She didn't know I had cancer. And she said over that area, what's this? Mm. And I said, it's a tumor. And she began to treat the tumor, and then she stopped and she began to weep. And I asked, what's going on? And she whispered, there's an angel of the Most High across the bed from us.
Oh.
And I looked around. I was so excited. But all I saw was the wall. I couldn't even sense the angel.
Mm-hmm.
And then she stopped weeping after a while. I just held the space and listened. And I asked, well, where is she? And she said, the angel's gone now. So what's the message, I asked. And she said, it's going to be very rough this time, but we'll be with you and give you strength. That's not too comforting, you know. Mm-hmm. And I held that in my heart and contemplated it, but I didn't tell it to anyone. And then there I was in the intensive care unit. They crashed in. They're putting a central line, it's called a Swan's Gans, cutting into my throat, threading it down into my heart, putting epidural into my spine, putting drugs into me that they've never given to a conscious person. And I looked up at the doc and I said, you look stressed. let me sing you a song. And I began to sing, hum a hymn that I'm familiar with. And he looked at me like, well, I was on drugs, and I was at the time, but I should have been unconscious. I should have been dead.
Wow.
It went, yeah.
Wow. That's absolutely incredible. How many times that you've actually had to face this, and how many times your team, your angelic team and your soul team and your guides have been with you, supporting you through this and giving you messages of stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. David, I want to talk to you more about this. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm with Reverend David Maggingly, and we'll be right back.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
A space of allowing radio with Coach Nancy Coco, welcoming all that wants to be present today. Tune in Thursdays every first and third week at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Coach Nancy helps you find a space of allowing. Join Coach Nancy to explore what lives at your edges and to bring more of yourself home. For more information, visit NancyCocoCoaching.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
Charlene Hess is a redheaded powerhouse of energy, love, and light. As a hairstylist, personal trainer, and life coach, she empowers people to develop a deeper connection with themselves mentally, emotionally, and physically. Join Charlene the third Friday of each month on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Get ready to experience your highest self, find your purpose, and discover your calling. You too can become unstoppable, shining your light and sharing your gift. Visit Charlene at charlenehess.com.
Are you ready to attract abundance, release stress, look and feel younger, all from your smartphone? Get Pure Light, a free mobile app with audios that transmit powerful frequencies to shift anything in your life. Created by some of the world's top energy healers, these audios have created miracles, often quickly. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit purelightaudio.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, Navigating Through Life's Transitions with Shelley Ryan, the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Listen while you work. Streaming live on any device. Tune in to the Transformation Radio Network. Visit transformationradio.fm.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, and we're talking about how to evolve through cancer, grow through cancer with my very special guest, Reverend David Maggingly. And before we went to break, we were talking about David has survived cancer three times. And then I just want to touch on the fourth time. Fourth time. We talked about three times, and now we're going to touch on the fourth time that you actually survived it.
Yeah. That again, here in Halifax, I had only a short remission. My first remission from being 17 was 10 years. And then I had about an 8-year remission. And then it was only 2 years later. Mm-hmm. The tumor had seeded itself and now was growing again in the lymph nodes of my abdomen. The symptoms, I was very familiar with them by this point. I could mm-hmm. sense the anxiety, what feels like anxiety, your heart racing, the sweatiness. Your fingernails turn blue because the capillaries get calcified, and you have what looks like an anxiety attack. But by this time, I had employed meditation to survive these, so that I could overcome the autonomic nervous system and calm myself down.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is among the things like my surgical team who saved my life. But it doesn't remove the tumor. That has to be done by my team, and we scheduled the surgery. We had to let the tumor grow. You have to let it grow so it shows up on the scanner. So that means a year of being on the edge of life and learning to mitigate these attacks. The tumor behaved itself more during the surgery this time, and it all went fairly smoothly. But I used it to reevaluate what is my goal? What am I to do with this cancer? How am I to use it to evolve into love? Is there a reason it keeps coming back? You know, I ask that question as many people do. Is there a purpose in this? Do I have it for some reason? And I couldn't find an answer to that, but quickly then moved from why did I get this to what am I going to do with it? Up to this time, even with three cancers, I had focused really on just living my normal life and loving as best I could. But now I put it into overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that compelled me to start writing, to start taking meditation even more seriously. And from that, I decided I don't belong in a parish anymore. I really want to work in the hospital and be with the cancer patients. So a while after that, I moved out of the church, and as an interfaith minister, I began taking care of people here in Halifax, and it's been one of the most difficult jobs and profound privileges of my entire life.
Mm-hmm. So, did you answer your question of why me? Was that why me? Why did I get cancer? Did you answer that question?
I did find an answer that I am at peace with.
Okay.
And the main part of the answer is, why me? Why not? We live in a culture in which one in three, in many parts of North America, it's one in two people will get cancer if they live into their 80s. And it is because we live and swim in a toxic environment that we have created. The environmental, dietary, the factors within mutations of genetics are so multifaceted we're never going to pin down the exact reason biologically and environmentally. But we know that we are being bombarded with things that cause cancer. So that's the first practical level that I stay with. And I choose to emphasize that because we don't want to jump to a spiritual reason as if it's been inflicted upon us for us to grow.
Right.
Don't believe God does. That God can use any crisis to help us evolve into love. And nothing is going to derail that agenda. Nothing accelerates the journey into love, becoming love, quite like a crisis. Mm-hmm. It makes us align priority, that's important, and direct our energy into those we care about and what we care for.
Did you get mad at God?
We talked. We had some discussions.
Uh-huh.
There were days I was pissed off, and I would say, you know, just leave me alone for a while. And I really, again, but those were days when I was bumping up against the edge of my coping. And when you do that, you grow. Those edges get pushed out, and it's going to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the response was always, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I never had that explanation dictated into my brain or my soul, but I did have a presence imparted to me that, again, made me feel completely safe and connected.
And you have a knowing now. You have a knowing now through many times of experience, and that's why you're able to help people. Being in the hospital where you're helping many people that are faced with cancer. And so you have three ways. So what are the three ways? The growing through cancer. What are your three? What are they again?
The main things is, first, to be fully present with the crisis. The quality of your presence with yourself will determine the quality of your experience in this moment. Mm-hmm. It's going to determine how you are in relationship with others.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always the place to start. Cancer taught me to show up. Now, that means if you're afraid, if you're angry, if you're anxious, be that. Don't hide it, but watch yourself having that experience. Be compassionately present with yourself because those are just parts of the human journey. And those are important. Those are important emotions and states that are telling you something important.
Yeah.
So the quality of your presence with yourself is the first thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing cancer taught me is have a sense of humor about yourself. Don't take this all so seriously. We tend to beat ourselves up and be the worst enemy. The critical voice in our head is relentless, and it just won't stop. So listen to that. Listen to the fear. Listen to the all the noise, and watch it. And then say to those parts of you, I hear you, I love you, I'm with you, but I'm driving, you're not. So mm-hmm. sit back and we'll get through.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final biggest thing cancer taught me is we are not alone. We are always connected to the reality of heaven, the reality of love, a dimension of consciousness, pure consciousness, from which our reality arises and from which I emanate in every moment. So if you can just walk down the street, walk to work, sit with your family, and quietly, secretly affirm within yourself, I am emanating from the love of the universe, and so are all these people. Even if someone is angry with you, or they're upset and crying, you can compassionately hold that aspect of themselves while affirming that they are a beautiful, immortal expression of God. Even if they've forgotten it in themselves, you will not forget.
Right. You're offering that presence. And by you being that presence, that's going to give them the opportunity to experience that for themselves, right?
I want to help them remember.
You want to help them remember. Yeah. I would like you to let everybody know where they can, first of all, get in contact with you. I want to get your email address. I want to get your website. And I also want to talk about your award-winning book, where they can get your award-winning book on Amazon as well. So please give us that information.
Okay. So you can find me at davidmcginley.com. Now, my last name has an odd spelling. M-A-G-I-N-L-E-Y. davidmcginley.com. You can contact me through there. You can email me. You can go to my Facebook page, which is D. McGinley, and message me through there. And that's where you hear a lot about the events that I'll be offering. I'm going to be speaking next week at the International Association for Near-Death Studies Conference in Bellevue, Washington, just outside of Seattle. And that's going to be on Thursday morning next week. And I'm very excited about that. I'm involved with that organization because I hear near-death experiences every month at work. Mm-hmm. Imagine having a job where you get that.
Wow.
Yeah. So email, if you want a direct email, david@davidmcginley.com. And the book is available through any bookstore, or you can buy it online at Amazon.
And what's the name of the book?
Beyond Surviving, Cancer and Your Spiritual Journey. I should have had a copy here. I could hold it up.
Yeah. Yep. And they can get that on Amazon also. And then we have a free gift for two listeners today that send you the first email that they're writing to you. You're going to send them a copy of your book, right? Through Kindle or whatever. Would you let us know about that?
Yes, the book is available in print, Kindle, and I'm just releasing the audiobook. So it is my voice narrating my words, and I'm so excited to put that out there.
Oh, that's wonderful. So can we get your email address again, please, David?
david@davidmcginley.com.
Wonderful. So we're going to be right back because we want to talk about how long you've been cancer-free and what life is like for you every single day now, living over there where you are, living cancer-free today. You're listening to The Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Matanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Matanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Matanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, radical change with ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
So, David, tell us how long you've been cancer-free.
18 years. This is the longest remission of my life. Yes, celebrate. It's wonderful. So I think that I'm in the clear now. If there was a reason I had to get cancer, I must be the most thick-headed guy on the planet because I went through it four times. Anyway, it's 18 years and I feel great.
Yeah. And you look fantastic. It's almost like, it just feels like you've never even had it. So it's kind of like this whole cluster of experience that you've had to, that you learned through all of this, is really being able to sit with people that are facing death and that are choosing whether they want to stay here or whether they're going to go or whether they're going to grow through cancer. You're helping so many people, because I know that you want to share about that people should not be afraid to contact a spiritual counselor, right?
Yeah. If you're facing cancer and you're in the hospital, don't be shy about contacting a chaplain. It does not mean you're giving up. And you don't need to be religious in order for them to be helpful. Chaplains are experts in helping you process all of the material, all of the anxiety, all of the things about hope and fear and distress, and they help you connect to your deep inner wisdom. So if you don't have, if you aren't a member of a local parish or whatever, you can still, through many hospitals, ask for spiritual care. They work there, they're trained in this, and they come and they sit with you. Often when we have cancer, we spend a lot of energy protecting our loved ones from any conversations about mortality or suffering, and we are strong for them, but we may in the back of our mind be thinking about death and dying and am I going to get through this? Guess what? Your family's thinking about the same thing.
Right.
But it may not be, you may not feel safe. You want to protect each other from that. So talk to a chaplain. They can be safe to talk to. They help you process all of that. And they're going to help you with a roadmap, so you know what to expect. Not only spiritually, but physically, they can help. They can give you a tour of a radiation unit, up to the cancer unit, help you around the hospital, help with practical things, connect you with your social worker and nurse educator. We're part of your healthcare team, and I think we do a great job.
That's wonderful. It's just like you would be absolutely the person I would want to come to, because I would feel like, yeah, you have that. That presence already that makes somebody feel safe.
Well, right? Cornelia, I hope you never need me.
No, I mean, I'm not going that direction. I canceled my appointment with cancer a while back. Definitely was looking at some things there, and I said, nope, that's not the direction that I'm going to go. And then I started my holistic practice.
Yes, you did.
Which is what you talk about too, because you talk a lot about meditation and you talk about other holistic practices, that health and diet and different things. And so light work, right? Really holding your high-level consciousness. And
access things like therapeutic touch or Reiki or these energy treatments, because now there's scientific validation of the energy field around you and how it can reflect in and affect the physical. So do that. Also want to mention, chaplains will respect your spiritual beliefs. So whatever rituals you need, they will provide for you or bring in someone who can. They are not there to convert you. In fact, for professional chaplaincy, that's unethical. We are there to honor your spiritual beliefs or lack of and help you connect to that deep inner wisdom. It's about so much more than religion. It's about the love story, because God is love. So we'll help you focus on the love and get you through that.
Right. And so what's your days like, you know, spending your days at work? Like, that's got to be a challenging, like you said, a tough job, because here you are with people that are deeply suffering and they have a lot of grief and they have a lot of pain and they have a lot of trauma. How does
I will share. How do you do that? First, by taking a break. I've been on sabbatical for a whole year. I have been spending touring North America, speaking at conferences, and taking care of myself, exercising, getting out with friends. You need to recharge the battery and have balance. My days at work, you're swimming in suffering 8 hours a day. And it's a profound privilege. You got to keep your keel deep in the water when you're swimming in this because you don't want to capsize. And you're helping the medical team. It's exciting. There's a lot of adrenaline, but now that's safe for me. Mm-hmm. And you never walk away from the hospital wondering, you know, what did I do today to make a difference? Every day is infused with deep meaning. And I don't know what's going to happen when I go in to see a patient, but I ask my guides. And I'll say, you know, be with me. Give me the words. Help me be silent when I need to and deeply present. And hold the tender, broken humanity with love. I am richer for that.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Can you tell us? Can you tell us a couple of stories from people that that have had profound effects? I mean,
I sat with Brandon, who was a young man dying. He was unconscious. Osteosarcoma, bone cancer had spread out. His parents, who were divorced but good with each other, were on either side of the bed, and he was unconscious. They were wondering, would he live through the night? Because his brother was flying out from Calgary, thousands of miles away, and had promised he would be there for Brandon, and he wouldn't die alone. So we sat and we talked, and I helped them with their grief and how to be deeply present, and the love was amplified. Because they were no longer suppressing any part of the nightmare. They were able to tenderly hold each other and be at his side. Then I asked, has anything interesting happened? Has he been speaking? Because we were talking about what is it like to die and what will he see? The most common thing patients see is the spirit of a loved one who's died before, your grandmother. Well, what do you know? He said, gee, a couple nights ago, Brandon was saying his grandmother's name. Or no, his sister's name, his sister's name. Now, his sister had died before he was born. And her name was Vanessa. He never knew her.
Wow.
But in this last hours of life, he started saying, Vanessa, Vanessa, and as if he was speaking to her from an unconscious state. And then her husband, her ex-husband said, oh, well, last night with him, and he was saying, Oma, and his grandmother, her great-grandmother's name, they were very close. And I nodded my head and I said, right, those are his welcoming committee. He is not alone as he goes through this. In fact, through that love, death is one of the smoothest, safest things you could ever go through. Well, it brought them such profound hope and helped them love with clarity and vulnerability. Now, it doesn't rescue anyone from the situation, and it doesn't fix anything, but it transforms it, because when love shows up like that, everything changes. The whole family gathered outside, and all of the friends, and there was a big crowd. They got such hope from that, and they knew he would be comfortable as he is going through the transformation that's waiting for us all.
David, you gave us so much hope today. Thank you so much for spreading your love, for sharing your story, and for doing the good work that you're doing in sharing your gifts with the world. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you here on the show today. Please, one more time before we go, let's tell everybody where to get your website.
So please go to davidmaginley.com. That's David, M-A-G-I-N-L-E-Y.com. You'll see all of my my blog, and you can get the book through there. You can also buy my book, Beyond Surviving, Cancer and Your Spiritual Journey, from Amazon, any local bookstore. Please support your local bookseller. I'm on Facebook at D. McGinley. You know, you'll see all the links.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. Much love. See you next time. Namaste.
Namaste.
You've been listening Namaste. To the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.